Revelation 12, verse 3. And there appeared another wonder in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon, having seven heads and ten horns and seven crowns upon his head. Who is that? It's the devil, the dragon, right? Shetani, right? And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven. Stars are angels. Because it says here in verse 9, the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent, called the devil, and Shetani, Satan, which deceiveth the whole world, and he was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. So in verse 4, a third of the angels are cast out. No, a third of the stars were cast out. And in verse 9, it's a third of the angels were cast out. Stars are angels. Angels are stars. Okay? Keep that in mind. So we know that 33% of the angels, which are gods, were cast out of heaven. And I believe that's the same devils or gods that the Hindus worship because of that number. Now, I already did that. What else do I want to say? We know that Jesus is the prophet that Moses prophesied, correct? Okay. Who is this? Was I lying about people bowing before him? No, they're doing it. And see, even John bowed before an angel. And the angel said, stand up. Not even angels are supposed to receive worship from men. Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and only him shalt thou serve. Amen. That man's a devil. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. God will not give his glory to Dr. Awar. This is Dr. Awar's website. He claims the huge cloud of God got bigger than the city, descended over the lake, and approached the venue of the conference. He believes that while he was there, where were they? Kisumu. That God sent his glory cloud to come down over Prophet Awar to show that he was God's prophet. He says on his website, God the Holy Spirit descended on him like he did Messiah. Amen. The dreadful cloud of God descending upon Moses, the fierce friend of God. And all it is a camera reflection. Prophet Awar brings dead woman back to life, and Tuko.co.k, Kenya, has all the details. Here's another one. Prophet Awar makes it rain in Nakuru. Would to God you could bear with me a little in my folly. What time is it anyway? How long have I been preaching? You don't want to tell me, do you? Five? Okay, what time is it now?
4:20.
Okay, all right. All right. Would to God you could bear with me a little in my folly. And indeed bear with me. And indeed bear with me.
Here.
For I'm jealous over you with a godly jealousy. Now I have a love for my church, which, believe it or not, is about this size. Now, the people that follow us online are in the thousands. And a lot of them I've met. I've even preached some of their funerals. Traveling throughout America to just preach their funerals. Because I love God's people. And I'm jealous over you with a godly jealousy. Because if I see people practicing the wrong doctrine, I'm not mean about it. I'm not angry. I don't want you to think that I think you're a false Christian. Because if you knew me 30 years ago, you wouldn't be sitting here today listening to me. And I was in the ministry and had a life full of sin. But God loved me so much, like a father loves his children. Amen. And you know, I'm glad God did that. Because that proved to me he loved me. Amen? So I'm jealous when I see false doctrines. Now, I don't... I don't try to force what I believe on people. If people ask me what I believe about something, I tell them from the Bible. And a lot of times people have loved me and thanked me for that. And sometimes I've lost even some of my best friends. And let me tell you, pastors, if you're going to live by this book, you're going to have a Judas in your church. You believe me? Amen. So that's why Paul was jealous. He said, because I've espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. We are all the bride of Jesus Christ. Amen? God wants His church pure. Now, can we make ourselves pure? Only the blood of Jesus Christ. 1 John 1:7. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, then we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all our sins. So can we purify ourselves? No. Only Christ can purify us. And how does He do it? He says in Ephesians 5 that He washes His bride by the water of His word. His word is how you and I are washed. Washed from our sins. Washed from our false doctrines. Amen? So, in 1997, God said, Mike, I want you to study prophecy. And I was going to go buy a bunch of books written by American authors on Bible prophecy. But God said, no. I wrote a sure word of prophecy. You're going to read it. And everything you think you believe, just set it aside and then read the book and see if these things that you believed are even true. Is that not what the Bereans did? When the apostles came and preached Jesus, the Bereans were more noble. And they searched the scriptures to see whether these things were true. So can I ask you to do that? When I'm all done speaking, and I've said everything I'm going to say, and I'm headed back to Missouri, you're going to read your Bible. And you're going to say, God, was that crazy Mzungu right? Amen? Now, here's what He said. But I fear,
lakini nina hofu,
lest by any means,
kwamba kwa njia yoyote ile,
as the serpent beguiled Eve.
Kama vile nyoka alivyomdanganya Hawa.
Remember, that's how we started this, right? Doubting God's word, contradicting God's word, giving an opposite to God's word, lying about God's word, and then offering a replacement for God's word. As the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, you might well bear with them. In other words, you might end up listening to him. Now, here's where I'm going to get in trouble. Maybe not. But I'm going to do my best to deal with an issue that some may not like. Do you see this software up on the screen? Everybody here is going to get a copy of it. And if we have enough left, then you can give them out to whoever you want. Okay. Raise your hand if you are a bishop or a pastor of a church. Raise your hand. Okay. Almost everybody. Okay. You know I love you. I wouldn't have come out here. Let me tell you what happened yesterday and this morning. That was the devil trying to stop us from coming out here. My daughter Alicia is with us. And she has a very severe gastrointestinal issue. And every now and then, her bowel and her stomach go into spasms. They tighten up like a muscle spasm. Only her stomach and her bowels do that. My wife said, "Mike, come." When I went into my daughter's room, she was screaming in so much pain. Who in here has a daughter? Aren't they your favorite? Don't tell your sons. Okay? Yeah. Just don't tell your sons, okay? And I didn't know what to do for her. She was hurting so bad. And I thought if she keeps on in this pain, we'll have to take her to the hospital. And I didn't know what else to do. But one thing I know how to do. Father, please heal my daughter. Please take her pain away. lay it on me. Because it's not my daughter that's going to preach. It's me that the devil is after. So God, will you please take the pain away from my daughter? So we prayed. She was able to get up. But then again, it hit her again. And I went in my room and I just prayed. After a while, it began to die away. But she heard all night long. And wasn't sure if she was going to be able to come today. My son-in-law, Michael, who is the one who started the radio station here in Samburu, he started getting very sick yesterday. And I said, Lord, I know what you're doing. I know what the devil is doing. He is trying to stop me from going to Samburu. So the next morning, this morning, at 4:30, I woke up. And I went and got a drink. And I laid down in bed. And I read the Bible for a while. And I thought, well, I'm going to go back to sleep. And I rolled over. And 10 minutes later, a pain hit me in my lower back. I've had two operations here. One here. And one here. And I have never felt so much pain in my life as I did this morning. And I'm saying, if I hurt like this, I can't go. I couldn't stand up. I couldn't lay down. I couldn't sit down. I was just in absolute pain. I almost got my wife up and had her take me to the hospital because something was wrong. So I prayed. And I said, God, they're your people. The people in Samburu are your people. They're not mine. I'm not their pope. I'm not their bishop. I'm not their prophet. I just love them. And God took the pain away. Yeah, you'll say amen in a minute, maybe. To those of you who are bishops, who qualifies us to be a bishop? Is it man? It's God. Who called Samuel? God did four times. So, if God calls a bishop, and the word bishop is like it's, I like to study words and where they came from. The word bishop and pastor and shepherd are all pastoral terms. like shepherds who tend sheep. That's our job. Who did the angels first appear to announce that Jesus had come? So, if it's God that qualifies the bishops, and God lays down the rules for who can and who cannot be a bishop, then no matter how you want to serve God, if you don't qualify, you can't be that. So here's the qualifications. If a, what is that word?
Man.
Desire the office of a bishop. What is that word? He desireth a good work. A bishop, then must be blameless. Now, all of us have sinned, right? And I thought about that, and I thought, well, I can't be a bishop. I've sinned. But I'm saved now. Oh, we lost everything, didn't we? Turn to 1 Timothy. We're going to read it from our Bibles. So, even though I've sinned, has God made me blameless? Amen? So, it's like the Bible says that the devil is the accuser of the brethren, because he knows all the sins we committed, right? But I have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, who says, Father, I paid for those sins. Look in the book, they're covered with my blood. Is there any sins to his charge? No! Amen? All right. Then it says, where were we? Okay, he must be blameless. And then what's the next one? The husband of one wife. That's where our problem is. I'm not the writer of the Bible. I'm the messenger. And a woman cannot be a husband. A woman cannot be a bishop. Now remember what we said at the beginning. If I say something and you think I'm not telling the truth, then you're supposed to go to the Bible and say, God, is that man true? Let's get a second witness. Let's go to Colossians. I think it's in Colossians. No, Titus. Tito.
Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1 Thessalonians, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, Titus. See, I'm nervous now because I'm saying things that I know not everybody is my best friend now. And I want you to know that I'm sorry for that. And it hurts me. Like it did Jeremiah. When he wept, he had to preach what God said. So in Titus chapter 1, verse 7, for a bishop must be blameless, as the steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine. I don't drink. I don't drink wine. I don't drink beer. I don't drink whiskey. I don't drink Tusker or whatever it is you guys drink here. I don't drink. Do you know why? Because the qualifications for a bishop is that he is not to be given to wine. No striker. That means I'm not to going around. Yeah. And then, no striker, not giving much wine. Teachers, I'm wrong here. Where am I at? Here we go. What verse am I in? Titus 1. Okay, here we go. I'm sorry. Yeah. Not given to filthy lucre. That's money.
Love for money.
Verse 8, but a lover of hospitality. A lover of good men. Sober. Just. Holy. Temperate. Holding fast the faithful word. As he hath been taught. That he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort. And to convince the gainsayers. I missed it. Look at verse 6. It's in verse 6. If any be blameless, the husband of one wife. So that's twice that the Bible has told us that a pastor or a bishop cannot be a woman. Let's get a third witness. 1 Corinthians 14. Look at verse 33. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. Verse 34. Let your women keep silence in their churches. For it is not permitted unto them to speak. But they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home. For it is a shame for women to speak in the church. Is that clear enough? Now, I always like to give out grace with justice. I have been to a lot of places in your beautiful country. And I understand that in a lot of areas, there just aren't enough godly men who will let God save them, who will let God save them, let God teach them, and let God make them into bishops. And in some cases, the only person who knew enough about the Bible was a woman. I know a church in the state of Kansas in America. It was a small church. Almost all the people of the church had left. The pastor left. And it left like five families and one deacon and his wife. And the church didn't know what to do. So they asked the deacon, "Deacon, will you preach Sunday morning?" The deacon preached that Sunday morning. God moved in that service, and a family got saved. And God began to use that deacon. And he was in that church, I think, about 14 years. And in 14 years, God blessed that church. They went from five families to over 700 people, all being led only by a deacon. Now, deacons are allowed to preach. Are they not? Stephen was a preacher, was he not? It was because he was preaching that they killed him. This man, and I know the man. He is a godly man. He recognizes that he is not the pastor. He never became the pastor. But as long as he felt God was using him there in his role as deacon, then he stayed there. And then finally God sent them a man to be their pastor. And so now the deacon is only a deacon. He's now under the authority of a bishop, which then brings in another issue. In the churches, are the men to be in subject
to the authority of women.
Je, katika makanisa yetu wanaume wanastahili kutii wanawake wahubiri.
Anybody have an answer? They say yes? Show me where.
I think, or maybe according to the scriptures, the grace to preach, to minister, is by the working of the Holy Spirit. In us as vessels.
In what?
We are just vessels.
We are vessels, yes. I agree.
And in the book of Galatians,
3:28.
The Bible says there is neither Jew nor Greek.
Correct.
There is neither bond nor free.
Correct.
There is neither male nor female.
Correct.
For you are all one in Christ.
Correct. But let's put that in the context that it's in. Okay? Verse 26. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many as you have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. So, this is talking about salvation. Can a Jew be saved? Can a Kenyan be saved? What about a Mzungu? Maybe. Maybe. What about people in slavery? Can they be saved? Can free people be saved? Can male be saved? Can female be saved? For you are all one in Christ Jesus. But when it comes to the authority in the church, it's a different issue. Turn to Acts 15. Can I get... Since you get to sit down, I'm going to sit down. Asante sana. Acts chapter 15. The first real doctrinal problem that came up was whether or not Gentiles had to keep the law and be circumcised. Okay? So... And I love Acts 15 because it declares to us that the church is not governed by a pope. Aren't you glad? Say amen.
Amen.
Aren't you glad I'm not your pope?
Yeah.
The church was going to be governed by the apostles. And the elder men. And I can prove that. So,
Look at verse 4. When they were come to Jerusalem, they were received of the church and of the apostles and elders, and they declared all things that God had done with them. But there rose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees, which believed, saying that it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. And the apostles and the elders came together for to consider this matter. Verse 7. I want you to all to look at verse 7 in your Bible and tell me who Peter was talking to. Who was he talking to? Peter rose up and said unto them, men and brethren, no women. There were no women at this council. There were no women bishops. Out of the 40 writers of the Bible, how many of them were women? None. Out of the 12 people that Christ chose as his apostles, how many were women? None. Now, does God hate women? No. God has a wonderful place for women in the church, in prophecy. One of the wonders in Revelation 12 in heaven is a woman clothed with the sun. The 12 stars around her head as a crown. And the moon under her feet. God, if you permit me, I think the symbolism of the woman standing on the moon in the Bible, when you stand on something, you have authority over it. Ladies, if you permit me, every 28 days, the moon goes from dark to light to dark again. The same number of days, your cycle goes from dark to light to dark again. One of these days, God's going to give you victory over the moon. That should make you happy. Now, I stand ready to also answer any other question regarding this issue. Because we have to ask a serious question.
If the Bible is not the only rule of our faith and our practice, then can it be said that God is ruling in that church? So, I love you. I don't like... I want everybody to love me. I want you all to like me. I'm going to show you some things in a little bit. We're going to have fun with some things in the Bible. But when I came in this room, this is what I believe God told me to say. Before I did that, we had to establish whether or not the Bible was going to be the Word of God, the way the Holy Spirit... Does the Holy Spirit work outside of what the Bible says? No. No, I'll prove it. Turn to Hebrews. The Bible says that not even Jesus would go against one word in this book. Not even Jesus would. And if Jesus won't do it, the Holy Spirit won't do it, because these three are one. Is this the Word of God or not? I want to hear everybody say amen. Because either you believe it, all of it. You can't pick and choose what you won't believe from the Bible. And I'm going to read that to you. Hebrews chapter 10. These are actually the words that Jesus said before he left heaven the first time to come to earth to be born. Isn't that amazing? That our Bible records words that Jesus said up in heaven that nobody here heard. But how did we get these words? Peter said, holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So if the Holy Ghost gave these words to those men, how is it that you would believe the Holy Ghost would not follow these same words? Hebrews 10, verse 5. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. I like this. The body that God prepared for Jesus' first coming did it come out of a man? Came out of a woman.
Amen? The body that Jesus comes back the second time in, it's going to be us. Because we are the body of Christ. Now, but a body has to help prepare me. Verse 6. In burnt offerings and sacrifices. Okay. Thou hast had no pleasure. Now, verse 7. Then said I, this is Jesus, lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. Jesus declared from heaven to his Father, Father, what you have written in your book, I will follow it to the letter. I come in the volume of the book to do God's will. Should the church go against Christ by doing something that is not in the volume of the book? We all have to follow the book. In fact, Jesus said, these words that I'm giving you, Jesus said, it's not going to be me judging you. It's the words that I give you. They will judge you. So let me ask you a question. Don't you hate corrupt politicians? Who do things or make you do things that are not in the law? Don't you hate that? We call that corruption. Is it any less corrupt if we decide not to follow God's commandments? I'll take one question and then we'll take a break. Yes, ma'am. God bless you.
Thank you. I have a question. And I just wanted to highlight something and maybe I'm starting to be corrected. What can you say about the dispensation of the grace that God has given us? Where is it being placed?
Now say that again. Okay, I'll answer your question with a question. Okay?
Yeah.
How was Noah saved? How was Noah saved?
Yeah,
go ahead. Genesis says, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. He found grace. 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 In the eyes of the Lord. No, I'll show you. God gave him grace before he told him to build the ark. Genesis 6, verse 7. No. Yeah, verse 8. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord.
He got grace first. Then it wasn't until verse 14 that God told him to make the ark. How did Abraham... How was Abraham given righteousness? Was it before he offered Isaac or after he offered Isaac? It was before. There has never been a time when God has not saved people by grace. Never. Never. Yes, sir?
I'm a follower of this man from your country. Mm-hmm. And she has been a blessing to many. Is it a mistake for God to lose her in the kingdom of God? Then second question is that.
Who said that?
This man.
Who?
Joyce Myers.
Joyce Myers. Stop.
Second question is that the Bible says that in the house of the Lord there's many vessels. That if it becomes righteous, God can use them to glorify. Is it bad for God to use woman to glorify or him?
Let me first tell you about Joyce Myers. She lives in the same area that I live in. I can drive to her house in 15 minutes. I know where she lives. I know where her offices are. And I know a lot of people who have worked for her. This woman is an evil woman. She is a Jezebel. She has never claimed that she repented of her sins and asked God to save her. She's never said that. She told a newspaper interview that she was practicing astrology and other types of witchcraft. And she says that she saw a vision of Christ. And she said he called her to be his prophet for this time. Now, I know that the county of Jefferson, which the counties are not like counties here. Counties are like districts, small areas, maybe 50 square miles, something like that. She refuses to pay her taxes. Okay. What is your question?
My question is that in the kingdom of God, did God do a mistake for her to bring salvation to the kingdom of God?
Did God do a calling for her to bring salvation? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. I have studied witchcraft. I know how witches work. Joyce Myers practices and teaches witchcraft. Okay, look, I love you. You asked me to tell you the question. You asked me to tell you the truth. Now, if you want me to, when we come back from break, I can show you. Okay? But let me ask you a question. Why would you need to read her books and listen to her teachings, when you have all of the apostles and prophets right here. Why? Okay? Deborah, the prophetess, yes.
Is it that,
she was the judge, actually.
A judge normally is somebody who's actually the
authority. Right.
So what about that? It looks like now in this case it's about exercising authority.
Right.
What about this?
But who actually exercised the authority over the armies that were being led to destroy Sisera? Barak. Not Deborah. Okay? And in the case of the judges, the only authority that a judge had was to say in a case whether or not you're guilty or you're innocent based upon the law of Moses.